Think Soberly is the title of tonight's devotion, taken from Job chapter 13 and verses 1 to 13. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Paul says that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The word to think more highly is literally the word overproud. The word there consists of the preposition above and the noun to think, or the noun, the verb to think. So to think over, and the literal meaning is to overthink. That means to think above. That is to be haughty. The idea is to think above, to proudly think concerning ourselves. Paul gave the contrast, not to think, overthink, or to think more highly, but to think soberly. Soberly. To have a right assessment, in other words, of our spiritual state. And it's so important that we know where we stand, spiritually speaking. Right? We do not have an illusion concerning what God has endowed upon us. And so, but to think so as to have sound judgment. In other words, to think, we said that, to think with your feet on the ground. In other words, you're not, you know, speaking, thinking of something that is, we said overstepping of ourselves, but to think soberly, to have a right estimate of oneself, right? It means to think properly in a sane manner, to have understanding about the practical things and to be able to act sensibly. So to have a right estimate of oneself will always be a humble state. Right, Paul says in Galatians 6 verse 3 to 5, "For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man bear his own burden." So Paul is saying to us here how we need to think soberly, think correctly, let every man prove himself. In other words, you know, let your life be that which is reflected as God would have assessed you, as God would have want you to assess of yourself. And so here we notice the friends of Job, right, thought that they had a whole of Job's spiritual state before God. But they were wrong. Right? Job had to rightly defend his integrity. And so here the thought is this, that Job's spiritual state, right, was such a state that God, by his grace, has allowed him to go through. In other words, Job's spiritual predicament, right, the hardship, the suffering that he has to go through, was not something that he, choose to want to go through.
if he had a choice, he would rather not go through such suffering, right? If we have a choice, why would we choose to, like Job, right, to have to suffer the pain of losing our loved ones? He had 10 children, he lost all his 10 children. The pain of losing his friends, friends who were good friends, and you know, after he lost all that he has, they decided to despise him. So he lost many of his friends. And those who came to him were supposedly the most concerned of them all, and yet they despise him. So, you know, for someone to live a life in affliction, and yet without the comfort of people around us, right? We thank God that for sending friends into our lives, those who would be willing to be truthful to us, those who would be willing to care for us, to love us, those who would be willing to want to look into our eternal welfare, and would want us to prosper in our spiritual life. We thank the Lord for bringing people into our lives. But for Job, well, these friends that he had were not such friends. At least, well, from what he could see, what we could see, they had they are very unsound judges of character. They could not discern what was going on in Job's life, and therefore they gave a wrong conclusion, a false assessment, and they end up hurting Job. And Job, although he was suffering with much affliction, physically speaking, but he was also hurt emotionally, he was also hurt spiritually by the incorrect assessment that his friends spoke concerning him. They said that he must have sinned against God, did something wrong. That's why God is punishing him. But it was not so. Right? He was a man who was just in the sight of God. So he had done no wrong. Or in the sense that, you know, the wrong that he did, God had forgiven him. So in the sight of God, he was one who is blameless, a just man before God. And so when his friends make all these false, wrong accusations, he had to restrain them. And so he said in verse 1, "Lo, my eye has seen all this. My ear had heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God." Job was bold to reason with his friends concerning the falsehoods they have spoken about the character of God, and the falsehood they have spoken concerning him. The commentator Barnes said well, "I would desire to carry my cause directly to God and spread my reasons before him." He felt that God would appreciate the arguments which he would give and would do justice to them. His friends, he felt, were censorious and severe. They neither did justice to his feelings nor to his motives. They perverted his words and arguments, and instead of consoling him, they only aggravated his trials and caused him to sink into deeper sorrows. But he felt that if he could carry his cause to God, he would do ample justice God would do ample justice to him and his cause. So Job was someone who is in touch with God. Although he was in his affliction, although he could not understand what was going on in his life at that moment in time, but he was nevertheless someone in touch with God. He was not someone who is totally living and suffering alone. If you are a child of God, then you find that during the time when you are afflicted, during the time when you are sad, when you face temptations and trials, you would draw near to God. Your heart will be made more tender, and you will be more willing to pray, more willing to spend time before God in the quietness. Perhaps with your Bible open, with your hymn book open, in the quietness of your room, you kneel and you pray and you sought God, you seek God. And the Spirit of God that is within you, God that is in you, speak to you, console you. Right? The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is Him who comes alongside you. So when you are saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit, Comforter, to comfort your heart, so that you are not alone, so that you don't feel that you are struggling on your own, so that you do not feel that you are, as it were, an orphan, right? That nobody cares about you. It's not like that, right? If you have God with you, the Holy Spirit in you will bring to remembrance in your heart God's presence with you. That He's for you, that He will help you, that He will be there to comfort you, to strengthen you. That's why it allows Job to speak these words, to say that his friends were misrepresenting him. Right? And we speak in hindsight, having taken a look at the conclusion of this book in Job 42 verse 7. Right? You look at the end of the book, you realize that the friends of Job were wrong. Okay? They were really misjudging him. They were really, you know, very proud and not think of their of Job correctly. And that is a very sad situation, but God would point them out, right, at the end, in Job 42 verse 7. It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee, and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." So you see, does God vindicate us? Does God vindicate His people? Right, you see here, God vindicating His people, right? God came to Eliphaz the Temanite and said to him, "I'm angry with you. My wrath is upon you and your friends and your these two other persons, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right." Oh. And so here, as we think, it behooves us to think of ourselves, or think soberly of ourselves. What did Job say concerning his friends from verse 4 to 13? Indicting his friends. He had to point out where they have misjudged him. Right, so verse 4 says, "But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are physicians of no value." He tells them, right, that you are speaking that which is not right a physician is to bring about healing through his medical expertise so that the ailment of the patient is treated. But for Job, it had been a waste of time seeing these physician friends of his, right, who could not treat his sickness, instead gave wrong diagnosis of his ailment. What tragedy for the sick person, right? If you are in need of a correct assessment of your medical condition, and you know, you go to a physician and the physician is unable to rightly make an assessment, right, as we are being told, I go through test after test and test after test, and there seem not to be any conclusion to the test after test, the repeated test, the futility of being able to assess the patient or the sick person's condition, causes the sick person to feel very discouraged, right? To have to waste many hours seeking help when there was no help. And this was what happened to Job. He has these physician friends who couldn't help him. And so he tells them, better to keep quiet. That's a good reproof, right? If we don't know, then it's better for us to keep quiet. Proverbs 17 verse 28 says, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lip is esteemed a man of understanding. In other words, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. I remember we were studying the Proverbs through the year, and on this part, Dennis Gibson said, well, he says, oh, what sins of the tongue most of us are guilty of. How difficult it is for sinful creatures to control that little member, right? The tongue. How difficult it is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18 verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Thomas Carlyle called the message of this proverb, silence, the great empire of silence, higher than the stars, deeper than the kingdom of death. Woe to us if we have nothing but what we can show or speak. These will not work except in darkness. Thought will not work except in silence. Proverbs 17 verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of excellent spirit. The word spareth means to restrain, to hold in check. Right? And the word excellent is a word that literally means cool, an excellent spirit, someone who is self-possessed. In other words, a person would think carefully before he would open his mouth and speak. He wants to restrain himself so that there will not be frivolous words that would come out of his mouth. He would think and consider, and his words would be, as it were, scarce. But when he speaks, these words are words of understanding and wisdom. Proverbs 10 verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Ah, so here is given to us the wisdom, right, of keeping quiet. Better to keep quiet, Right? If we are not in control of our spirit, in other words, if we are not taking a hold of ourselves, of our own spiritual state, then it's better that we take time to restrain ourselves, take time to prepare ourselves. Do you realize that it takes time to prepare yourself for life? It takes time to let the Word of God, the person of Christ, be formed in you. And so how can Christ be formed in us? We sing, "Oh, to be like thee." Well, it requires that we would take time to be immersed in His Word. Hours and hours, time immersed in the Word of God. And oftentimes we think that we are reading and we are studying the Word of God. But I say to you, not enough. Not enough. Right. The input that comes to our life, into us, versus the wisdom that God's Word would bring to us, there is a great imbalance. And so the output of it, you know, right, for yourself, what kind of output. So if someone walks within the doors of your home, someone walks within the doors of the church, and he or she listens, right, to the words that we say, what would be their response? Would it cause them to want to make a friend out of you because they have felt that they have something that they have been able to gain out of that conversation, out of that relationship? Or was it something that was that encounter, something so repugnant that caused the other person to withdraw? So the Lord is saying to us that we need to take time to cultivate wisdom in our lives. We need to take time to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to, as we said in the beginning, have a sober assessment of our own spiritual state, of our own spiritual life. And one of the prerequisites, we said, for the study of God's Word is humility. Right? To know that we are not there, that we need to be able to be all ears, right? To be able to listen, to be able to pick up the needful wisdom that we need, and then to be able to imbibe it and to be able to use it. Right? Tonight we are going to a time of prayer. And we have many petitions, many decisions that we need to make. Is it this way or that way? Is it like that or like this? How can we make the right decision in the sight of God? That is where the Lord wants us to be quiet before Him as we seek Him. As we look into His Word, right, the Lord promises that He will instruct us. He will show us the way. He will guide us so that we as His people, right, will find help in times of need. And so Job rightly say to his friends, "Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace. It should be your wisdom." Right? If you would not say anything, then it would have lessened my pain. James 1 verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James 3 verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So the words, right, that we speak, what we would hear, to what we would speak and how we would respond, the Lord seeks that it will be sanctified. Right? We would choose what we would hear, that which would help us to grow, how and to speak, what to say. We would be careful to weigh our words, to weigh our thoughts, right? And you know, taking time to know God's will, to study God's word, is painstaking, right? We were studying the book of Proverbs, and we spent the whole year going through the daily devotion, and you notice that for each and every verse that is there, it's packed, right? A full page of wisdom. So for us to unpack it, each verse, wow, it takes us some time to assess and understand, you know. It takes us some time to learn and to imbibe. We just can't expect that we would grow if we do not be patient, if we are not patient to be quiet, to study and to learn and to reflect and to change. And so you would realize that for the Christian life, after you know God, right, there is an urgent need to spend time in the immersing yourself in the Word of God. So perhaps you have done so when you first become a Christian, and you know, you were fervent, you were enthusiastic, but as time goes on, you find yourself suddenly, or well, becoming a little bit colder in your study of God's word, in your seeking of wisdom from God. Then you know that that's not good. It means that your spiritual life perhaps is not growing, not progressing, but retarding or stagnating. And so you realize that that for us to grow, it's important that we would take time to know the Word of God, take time to imbibe the wisdom that God would give us. And you realize that this wisdom is so precious, you know. To think biblically, to think the mind of God, how He would help us. Right? Every prayer of yours will be answered because it is in the will of God. And the Lord wants us to know His will. And where is His will found? In His word, you see. And so it takes time. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 5 and 6 says, "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, and therefore the misery of man is great upon him." Right? So the Lord is seeking that we would be wise and we would learn His ways. And the Lord is saying to us that how important it is that we would be slow to speak. And so Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." So if you think that you are not sure, then don't speak. Don't speak. If you are not sure, even a fool who holds his tongue acts death is no longer a complete fool. His silence in itself is a degree of wisdom rather than ignorance, though he is reputed to be a fool. Silent sense is better than fluent folly. Silent sense is better than fluent folly. Fool or not, his silence conceals his folly and may gain for him a reputation for wisdom. No one knows that he nothing knows unless he talks too much. Thus, the judgment of men can be wrong, counting fools as wise, or wise men as fools. And so Job is saying to his friends that, you have not been correct. And oftentimes, you would see, as we go about life, and, you know, we have the opportunity to meet different people. You know that there are those that you want to spend time with because there will be some benefit and profit. But there will be those that you don't want to be around. And so, you know, if you are a child of God, then, you know, we need to choose our friends. If you have friends of the world, then you would find that the advice that they would give to you would be the way of the world. And can you be wiser by spending time with them? Of course not. So you realize that after you become a Christian, the company that you keep with, the friends that you have, your circle of friends suddenly is very much reduced. If you are, you know, you are a first generation believer, now you find that this is so. Why so? Well, because you realize that, you know, the direction that God has for you is so different. It is usually the opposite direction of where your previously close friends were going. And so how? Well, may I say that God gives us His Word, and God provides us the wisdom of His words. You see, you know, for every aspect of God's Word, perhaps somebody has written a book on it. Somebody over the last 2,000 years has spent some time meditating on those things. And God has illumined them and granted to them certain wisdom concerning certain aspects of life. And so if you would take time to search out wisdom, you'll find that you would be able to get a rounded, godly knowledge of the situation that you are in. And then you would be able to be granted the wisdom what to do. What is the way out? How to go about it? And we realize that there is a way out with God. God will always provide a way. And we search the scriptures. And we study. We take time to meditate. So if you are a family man, if you are a husband, then, you know, how do you interact with your wife? God's word has many wisdom, many instructions, many books. Family life. Wow. If you go to the library, you would be able to see, wow, there is a whole section. And every time you would go through life, you come across a good book, something on certain aspects of life, well, you take it, get it, and you take time to read it, you underline it, circle it, mark it, and it becomes yours. But the Lord doesn't want us to go through life without learning, growing, you see. If we know that we are weak in certain areas, then let's take time to learn. Take time to grow in that area. We just can't go on, you know, murder-headed. And this is what happens to Job's friends. They were supposed to be old and wise, who knows God, and yet they misrepresented God. Verse 6 to 8. Hear now my reasoning, Job said, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will he speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will he accept his person? Will he contend for God? Job entreats his friends that they would be no longer speakers, Job said, but hearers, that they would vouchsafe to sit still and hear what he had to say. Though he was greatly afflicted, he had not lost his reason. Wisdom was not driven out from him. He had still with him his reasoning powers, which he was capable of making use of, and even before God, and desires that they would attend to what he had to say on his own behalf. So, if you have taken time to fortify yourself, to grow in the things of God, then when you face the affliction, you have in your storehouse of knowledge, wisdom, something that you have learned already, and you can pull it out. Whether it is in somewhere in your library, whether it is somewhere that you have remembered, recalled. The Lord wants you to be able to have that wisdom, and to be able to find it and then to use it. So for Job, he was someone with a deep faith. In other words, he has a good understanding of who God is. In the time of his prosperity, he had not wasted his time. You know, in the time of relative peace in our life, how are you using your time? Are you squandering your time away? Or are you using the relative peace that God gives you in your environment to equip yourself, to prepare yourself for battle? You don't know when the battle will start. For Job, it came suddenly, right? Out of all the prosperity, suddenly everything changed. Everything was removed from him. Everything was taken from him. If he had not been preparing, if he had not been cultivating his spiritual life, he would not be able to stand up to the test that would come upon him. So, while the Lord allows us time, while we have time in our hand, what are you doing with your life? How are you growing? You know, if you are growing, and then you would also think, right, about the people around you. How are they growing? You would probably think, is there a way by which they could grow better? Perhaps they are your children, your grandchildren. Perhaps they are your spouses or your friends, people around you. The Lord wants us to equip ourselves. And if you are equipped, then equip others. Why do we spend time studying the book of Job? Week after week, we come. Right? This is our 36th message on the book of Job. Why do we bother to spend so much time thinking about this man who is, you know, sitting in ashes? Why do we want to take time to study a man sitting in ashes? Because you know that it will, at some point in our life, before us, whether it is ourselves or the people close to us. And we need that wisdom in order to find the escape route, you know, out of the temptation, out of that trial. And if we have not been paying attention, we have not been studying, if we have not been vigilant, then we realize that we may not be equipped for the trial that is before us. And so the Lord wants us to be equipped. He wants us to be ready. And if God gives you time, God gives you the relative peace in your life, then don't waste your time. Use your time wisely. Jesus warned in Matthew 12:35-37. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Jesus indicted the Pharisees in Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, poisonous snakes, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So Job said to them in verse 9 and 10, God will certainly reprove you. Right. Verse 9 says, is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, so do ye so mock him? He will surely reprove you if ye do secretly accept persons. God will come after you. Your sins will find you out. Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of men, or the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So how are you using your time? How are you faring in life? God wants you to fare well, right? to live well, right? To live to His glory, to live in excellence before Him. So how can we do so? Well, let us have the fear of God in our hearts. Verse 11 to 13. Shall not His Excellency make you afraid, and His dread fall upon you? Your remembrance are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. So, you know, Job is very wise
spiritually speaking. To him, he understood Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Ah, that's a wise person. Right? Wise person. Psalm 119 verse 120 says, "My flesh trembleth for fear of thee," the psalmist says in his prayer to the Lord, "for I am afraid of thy judgments." Are you afraid of the judgment of God? Well, we better be afraid of the judgment of God. We don't want to come under the wrath of God, right? Yeah. So let us be afraid. Jeremiah 10:10, "But the Lord is a true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." Psalm 34:16, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." So, in conclusion, let the fear of God be in our hearts. Let us think soberly. Let us not be like Job's friends. Let us learn, grow, to be like a Job. Someone with a very strong faith, so that when you are being tormented by unsound teaching, when you are being tormented by unsound doctrines, you know how to repel them. You will not be tossed to and fro by them, and you would be able to have the wisdom to make a right assessment and decision for your own eternal spiritual benefit. Think soberly. The first thought, restraining his friends, verse 1-3, and indicting his friends, verse 4-13, forgers of lies, verse 4, better to keep quiet, verse 5, pleading them to stop misrepresenting God, verse 6-8, God will certainly reprove them, verse 9-10, fear him, verse 11-13. May the Lord help us to have a right understanding of life and have a right understanding of our standing before God, that we think of ourselves soberly, and not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Let us think so as to have sound judgment. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Grant us understanding so that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This I pray with much thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.